Welcome to Younger Older. I'm Dave Wager, your host here in the studios at Silver Birch Ranch on the campus of the Nicolay Bible Institute. If you've listened to this program before, you know that we like talking intergenerational. Well, today we've got a treat. We're talking generational. We're stopping the intergenerational for a moment because Mike Gallo, a good friend of Silver Birch Ranch, a good friend of the ministry and the people here who comes and serves and gives of his time, is with me. And I thought if we could get on the podcast here to do a little bit of talking about God's goodness, God's faithfulness, and we can encourage young people to be looking to God for their hope and their future. That'd be a great thing to be able to do. First of all, you're not a stranger here at Silver Birch Ranch. You come up quite a bit to serve, and your son has come to NBI here. How is that experience for him?
The experience for him has been fantastic. He, I think I mentioned this before, was not sure. He wanted to come to NBI, went basically to the very end of the application process, and through a series of reflection and events, decided if he stayed back home, he'd probably be in a little bit of trouble, so he decided to come on up here. From there, he got sound biblical teaching. He learned how to serve, how to be outside of his comfort zone, how to put others first. He definitely got a sound biblical education, and he met a lot of people that are friends to this day. He met his current fiance, who they just got engaged a couple of days ago, and he had the skills given to him through his internship of the audiovisual group to, first of all, land a summer staff job over at the Woods camp.
Okay.
And from his experience there, at the very end, they hired him to do the audiovisual over at the Bridge Des Plaines. He's full-time working there. And his fiance also, by God's grace, was offered a job there. They're both currently working in the same, not department, but the same audiovisual field. And like I said, a couple of days earlier, got engaged. So it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, and his fiance came to Nicolay Bible Institute, too, from all the way out in California.
Yeah, you got a good story about that, I think.
Yeah, well, they just heard some of the podcasts or radio broadcasts from Q90 or something, and came. They were traveling this way, or they came this way on purpose to check out the Nicolay Bible Institute.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting when you sit back, at our age now, you sit back and you say, boy, God orchestrated that pretty well when you look at it. We can see the plan 2020 when we look backwards. Any other things in your life? I know your life right now, you've had cancer. You've had a heart stent put in not too long ago. You're limping around now. I had to lend you a cane. Does this stuff ever get tiring to you, or what is going on here? Are you discouraged in life? Are you? I mean, these aren't totally unusual things that happen to people as we age.
Right. No. Physically, I'm 67, going on 85. Not discouraged in the least. The pain is there, and sometimes can be a little bit taxing, but it also has pushed me closer to God. I don't want to say that in a trite way, but it's given me just the mindset that God knows what's going on.
Right.
I mean, when I first had the first bout of cancer, my whole thought process was, okay, God, this is where it's at. You could take me tomorrow, and that's okay if it's the best thing for the kingdom, or I could continue on and show me your purpose there. He's chosen to keep me going. There have been a lot of speed bumps along the way. The second stent put in, new medications. The medications are really doing a number on me as far as mood swings and fatigue and all the rest.
Right.
But through all that too, I know that God's in control. Through all this medical process, I've learned that I'm not putting my trust in medicine. The hospital has been fantastic. The nurses, the doctors, they're right on top of things. They're great. We talked earlier about appointment fatigue. It is a real thing. But I don't put my trust in that.
Right.
I have a deep comfort and a deep peace knowing that God's in control, knowing that I'm never alone. The Holy Spirit
Those
is
are
me.
Key things you just said. God's in control. You're never alone. God loves you. Now, when I look at the world right now, I see young people that are struggling so with depression and anxiety and just argumentative behavior towards one another. You don't seem to have that. You don't seem to be fighting with depression and anger. Not that you don't feel sad once in a while. Not that you don't. And of course, the medicines they give us for this stuff can be crazy and cause you to go into thinking spells or whatever, that you're wondering what in the world is going on here. But in general, you're not really fighting off the idea of hopelessness or depression or anxiety that comes from people that just can't find hope. And there's all kinds of young people that have health today, and they're hopeless.
Mm-hmm. No, you are correct on that. There are times I'm down in the dumps a little bit. There are times I'm emotional, very much emotional. Some of the medicine I take makes me that way, but I've always been sensitive to begin with. But I don't stay there. Depression is a place you stay in.
Right.
There may be a sadness a little bit. And then you start looking to God.
Right.
Whether it be in His Word, whether it be through a conversation, whether it be just being reminded that no matter what happens to you here as a believer, you have eternity waiting for you, and there is no pain, there is no sorrow, there is no limping of a bad knee or stents or anything like that. There's just complete joy, mm-hmm. and that gives you a deep-seated comfort, a deep-seated joy, and it gives you the mindset that my life is not my own.
Right.
And whatever time I have left, whether it's 10 years, 15 years, one day, I want it to be spent looking to further God's kingdom by serving in whatever way possible.
Right.
I wake up now just praying for an opportunity to be used in any way, and it comes every year or every day. And it's not a major thing. There's no big Billy Graham thing for me here. It's
right.
just like maybe it's a conversation. Maybe it's helping somebody up the stairs. Maybe it's just, hey, what's that book you're reading?
Yeah.
And an opportunity to discuss. I had an opportunity to discuss faith with a policeman out in a coffee shop the other day, and we spent about a good half hour on that. And those things just come because what you talk about on your podcast, proximity to God.
Right.
The closer you get to God, the more He works through you. I mean, it just flows out. And it's not me, it's God working through me. And there's a joy in that no matter what the circumstances are. It's just something you look forward to every day.
Yeah, you know, that's a key principle that I talk about a lot, that if somebody listens to our podcast a lot, they know I'm always talking about proximity. I'm always saying that's where the safe zone is. That's where you want to be. You want to be right next to the shepherd. You want to be there because He's the one that can protect you and guide you and help you in life. You've gone through some times where there's been unknowns. I mean, you went through cancer, went through the cancer treatment. Are you cancer-free today?
To this point, I believe I am. The numbers have shown that I am.
Okay.
I can't say I'm
and
not.
And how many years ago was that?
The first initial bout was in 2019.
Okay, and this is 2024.
Yeah, so prostate cancer, which was taken care of with seed radiation.
Sure.
They got everything in the prostate. What we didn't see was stuff that was already out.
Right.
So over the course of the next 2 or 3 years, you start feeling something. You go in for a checkup and your PSA levels from, 0.1 to 32. It's like,
right.
Oh, we got a problem here.
Right.
That's where the chemo came in. So that was about two. Since then, it's been cancer-free from, I believe, my last infusion was last May or March, so we're talking about a year. Heavy medication since then with different things, so you almost feel like it hasn't ever ended.
Yeah.
But the numbers have stayed down. And all through it, outside of the, like I said, the fatigue and the sometimes the mood swings and stuff like that, it's just been a wonderful opportunity to just draw closer to God.
So do you think that you have changed from the time before cancer till today?
Very much so.
Through the experiences?
Very much so.
If there were a few things that you said, boy, here's what I think is different right now than before. I know I'm putting you on the spot here. I didn't give you a chance to think about that. Yeah. But if there's just a few things that you say right off the top of your head, here's some things that really are valuable to me today, and that could you honestly say that you're glad you went through what you went through, so that you could learn what you learned today. I want you to be honest about that. Do you honestly say that you're glad you went through it? Not saying that you enjoyed going through it. That's a different scenario right there. It's kind of like Jesus when he said, for the joy of the cross. Mm-hmm. Okay, we understand he sweat drops of blood not to do that. But for then it's described as the joy of the cross.
Right.
So that's what I'm asking you. Is there a few things that you say, boy, here's some things I absolutely, now I might have known them in my head before, but here's some things I know now that I didn't know before, and I am glad, or I'm not glad I went through it for this. You know, I want to give you the platform on that.
Absolutely. I think I've mentioned before in some of our discussions that I counted cancer as a blessing. Not going through it, not the chemo, you don't feel like a blessing at that point. But it's made me more softer towards people. Now, I don't think I was an angry guy to begin with, but I think I'm softer towards people. I look for more ways to be used in people's lives. I've definitely clung to God more. It's like if you're out in the ocean and there's a boy there and you're getting pushed around by the waves, you cling to that boy.
Yeah.
That's you cling to God. But you're clinging and you're clinging to stay in proximity to him. You're not
right.
Clinging for, oh, save me, save me. With that, there's also been a great, without sounding kind of arrogant, a depth to my spiritual life
right.
That was not there prior to 2019. I always was a believer. I always sought after God, but I didn't have all of the experiences that led to softening, a tenderizing of the spirit and a realization that I'm not the answer. God doesn't need me. God can use me if I'm available. And the more you let go of yourself, the more available you are, the more he uses you. It's been a total joy, a total comfort. And I could tell you right now, the world has no allure for me now. The things of the world have no allure. Do I love nature? Yes. Do I love sitting in a coffee shop and talking to people? Yes. There's no allure in the...
Yeah.
There's no materialism there. There's nothing there that I want that's worth anything that I would give up that cancer for.
Right.
That was what the tool that God used to get me to stop the hamster and the cage rat race I was going through at work. To take that away, that was the blessing he used. And the upshoot of that now is the opportunities to do the things I always wanted to do. Serve more in the church, serve more at camp, be a part of people, and just the joy that it seemed. I mean, I can't see a two-year-old kid run and not just smile in total joy. I can't pass up an opportunity to just rub shoulders like you talked about with people and be a part of life. But it's not about me.
Yeah. So as I look at it, I know that the cancer, the heart problems, et cetera, they're things that you value at this point as part of how God has molded and made you into who you are. I often think about, you know, one day you and I are going to be gone. We'll take our last breath on this earth. Mm-hmm. We'll face God. And as we do, I think one of the most magnificent things that will be detailed for us is how God was working to get us to the point where we should be by the time we leave. You know, this whole life is a journey. And I've said it so often. When you're a young person, and if you're a young person listening, this is one of the greatest struggles you're ever going to have. You're gonna have to go through a struggle where you realize that the world doesn't revolve around you. You know, as a baby, and we were talking about this earlier, but as a baby, you're, you're born and you cry and you get fed and you cry whenever and everything. Everybody runs around taking care of you. You eventually, as you grow older, one of the great jobs your parents have is to teach you that the world doesn't revolve around you. Because really, the world revolves around God. And we glorify Him, not ourselves. It's not really about us. It's about Him. And that's the way we were created to be, so that we could live in the correct context. Well, what's interesting then is as you go through that, you begin to realize that God in His faithfulness brings experiences to all of our lives to get us prepared for the day that we could be in eternity and be prepared so that we're ready to enjoy Him for eternity. And so He's working on that. And part of that was giving you cancer, giving me heart problems, giving, you know, all the different stuff that we go through in life. You know, it doesn't mean that we're going to be overly joyful of all the experiences. In fact, recently, you know, I need a shoulder replaced. And there's certain things I really like to do in life. Just, I get a thrill out of. One of them is running a chainsaw. I have like six chainsaws. You know, I mean, I really enjoy cutting wood. And so I'm at the doctor's office, and he's looking at things. He goes, well, we really should get this replaced. I forget his exact words. But one of the illustrations he gave me, I said, well, how's that going to affect me? One of the illustrations, well, you probably shouldn't be chopping wood. And I almost went to tears. It was like, oh, anything but that. You know what I mean? Almost anything but that. The bottom line is it's like God almost testing me there in my own mind, saying, you know what? I know you love doing this. But what if that's over now? What if that phase of your life is over? Because everything is phasey, if you want to call it that. There's a phase for this. There's a phase when you're young, you're middle-aged. What if cutting wood and splitting wood is over for you now? You know, and it may not be. You know, I haven't got the final diagnosis. We haven't done all that. But it's funny what God uses to make you start dialoguing with Him.
Right.
Because then I was talking to God about it, going, God, is that really it for that? And it's almost as if I could hear God saying, well, how important is that? You know, I mean, there are other things that you can do now that, you know, in your life now, you can do this kind of thing. You do podcasts, you can do teaching, you can do other things. Maybe you ought to concentrate on what you can do. And not only that, I got a plan here. I'm working in your life to develop you into the man that I want you to be, and you're not there yet. So I'm going to use this instant and that instant. It is so important for young people to know who God is, because He's not going to break away from His character. And His character is, I love you. I'm going to work in your life. I'm going to develop you into the person you should be. I'm going to do that. Now, what if I don't see that? What if I have cancer or whatever else and I don't see how He's working? It doesn't mean He's not. He's still working at that. And that's where our faith comes in. And so it's exciting to me to talk to someone like yourself, because I want young people to hear that the elements of life that come our way that are totally out of our control. The cancer was out of your control. The heart, out of your control pretty much. I mean, those are things that just happen. That God can use all the circumstances of life to draw us to Himself and to create in us a clean heart and to prepare us for what's ahead. Now, some might say all circumstances, and I would say no. If you, the old illustration I say 100,000 times, if you beat your head on a rock, you're going to get a headache. There's not a good circumstance there. You're beating your head on a rock. You shouldn't ask God to fix it for you. You should quit beating your head on a rock, because He made your head to hurt when you beat it on a rock. We're not talking that. If Mike came to me and he was saying, you know, Dave, I have this headache all the time. I've been praying that it goes away. But every time I beat my head on the rock, I get a headache. I would go, well, quit beating it. I mean, God made it that way. But when you're talking about cancer and you're talking about other things, those are not things that are circumstances that you and I necessarily go out and say, well, I'm going to do this so I get this. These are circumstances that were totally unplanned for, totally surprising in some respects, I imagine.
Yeah, and here's the part of that is God is working through that. And if you are walking in faith to that point, you will respond to that with faith and trust. You don't have to wait for that to happen to be there. There's a book out there that I would actually encourage you guys to have, it's an allegory for maybe the NBIers, called Hinds Feet in High Places. The author is Hannah Hunyard. It's an allegory book, and it basically is about the hind who goes through all of the valleys and all this and is changed little by little to become the perfect doe. And she's led through all those things by God. And it just gives you a clear idea that, you know, there are things in life that you go through that you can't control. Some are real irritating. You might have to deal with people that rub you the wrong way. Some are totally out of your control.
Right.
And but the higher you climb that mountain of faith, you get to the very end and you actually get the seat of death type thing,
right,
where you give your life is done, but you become that perfect in
right.
eternity. But it's a process. You don't have to wait till you're 67 with cancer.
No.
You know, you could grab onto it at a younger age. Now, you're not going to have the life experiences of like you and I, but you don't necessarily have to have that to have that mindset of being close to God, in a proximity to God, so that when these things happen, you can cling to Him.
Yeah.
We talked about, you were talking about the difficulties of life. I used that instance of a diamond. How is a diamond formed? You know, it's basically dust,
right,
coal dust, and through the heat and the pressure becomes this refined gem, but that heat and that pressure is not something that's pleasant.
Right.
If a diamond had feelings, it had feelings of pain, it would be very painful, but it comes out this beautiful stone. Very few things in life start with comfort and end at a higher plane.
Right.
We have to go through things that test our faith. Weightlifting.
Right.
Oh, you get muscles by sitting there? No.
Right.
You get muscles through the resistance.
Right.
Resistance isn't always fun. But the more it is, the more it's done, the more strength you get. Spiritually, the more you get into God's Word and not just read it chapter by chapter and say, I put in my 10 minutes, but read it, meditate on it, apply it, the more you're going to grow.
Yeah. Let me pause there, because one of the most important things I think I want to encourage young people to do is to do exactly that. Read the Bible. Read it through every year. Know what it says. You need to know God, because what happens during tough times, when you get cancer, you get heart disease, you get things you cannot figure out, you know, why they happened, you have to rely on what you know rather than what you feel.
Amen.
Because you are, believe me, getting crucified, Jesus didn't feel good about that, physically feel good about it. Yet it's described as the joy of the cross. When you had cancer, there's feelings there that are not good. You know, I mean, the chemo treatments, the other things, there's just times where you don't feel good.
Right.
During times, no matter when they are, that you feel poorly for whatever reason, or feel bad, whatever the right grammar would be for all that, what you need to do is remind yourself of what you know, not what you feel, but remind yourself of what you know. You already know what you feel. You're feeling it. You don't have to remind yourself of that. So you don't have to go, I'm miserable. We know that. What do you know, though? You know, during the darkest times of life, if you can say, I know who God is. I know that He loves me. I know He's got a plan for this. Now, all of a sudden, my feelings, maybe not my physical feelings, because there might be pain there, whatever else it might be, but my emotional feelings start to switch, because I'm reminding myself of what I know, not what I feel. Young people today, if you're not spending time getting to know who God is, getting to know the shepherd, if you're not spending time doing that, well, then when the tough times come, you have nothing to go to, because you're going to go, where do I know? And you're going to go, nothing. I don't know God. I don't know His plan. I don't trust. Okay, well, you haven't spent time during the good times getting to know Him, because if you know Him, then you start listing it off. You know, when my dad died 30-some years ago, 40 years ago maybe, and one of the things I had to do, because that was really hard on me, it was a heart attack. It was quick. It was sudden. I was a young man. In my own family, you know, thinking Grandpa'd be around. He wasn't. Well, when he died, I had to remind myself of what I knew. I felt terrible. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think what we try and do is adjust our feelings. We need to feel good about things. You don't have to feel good about things. what you need to do is remind yourself of what you know, and your feelings will start to get in line with what you know. And if there's pain there, there's pain there. God gave us emotions. He gave us pain. He gave us that. That's there for a reason. We don't have to kick it out. But if you're going to temper it at all, temper it with what you know, because you'll never be able to temper it with what you feel.
And add on to that, for those of you that are listening that don't know Jesus as a Savior, what I can tell you is, as a believer, as one who has accepted Christ as my Savior, what I do know is that when my physical life is over here, I will enjoy an eternity in heaven with God that is free of knee pains, that is free of cancer, that is free of heart attacks. And that knowledge, that hope, which is a truth, not just a hope, but a truth, that allows you to look at the things that are painful and say, this is a passing thing. We are sojourners here on earth, and at the very end, I'm not going to feel the way I feel now physically. I'm going to be dancing in heaven with the Lord.
Right. Yeah, you know, what's interesting is so many times we get ourselves lost in the pity parties that we have for ourselves. Mm-hmm. When you do that, you're starting to focus on yourself rather than the whole plan. And there is a whole plan here. A lot of times my morning, I'll begin a morning by saying, you know, in the beginning, God. There's a God. I'm not him. All I'm doing is reminding myself of what I know. We have to remind ourselves of what I know because life gets so crazy at times that what happens is Satan will use anything that's available to him to get our eyes off of God, to get our proximity away from God, if you want to call it proximity. Proximity means close. So getting us away from him. And when he does that, we have nowhere to go. I mean, if you're going to just go to medicine or you're going to go and try and find answers from other people, you're going to get opinions like crazy. You can try and figure out how you're going to live and how you're going to take care of the medical issues you have by going online. And you're going to get so many opinions about so many things that you're not going to know what to do.
And you're putting your trust in something that
absolutely
isn't eternal.
And the funny thing is, I'm not anti-medicine at all. I'm just anti-not trusting God. Because God's the only one. He can heal you right now, or he can leave you the way you are to draw you to himself and to create in you a new heart and to create in you a way where you could live in a way that honors and glorifies him, which is the way you should be.
Amen.
I'm Dave Wager, here with Mike Gallo, here in the studios at Silver Birch Ranch. Thank you for listening. We hope to see you again soon. Bye-bye for now.